This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Indeed. Want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/creative. This episode is also sponsored by Bambi. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of the new book, The Motivation Code, available wherever books are sold. Very excited because here in just a very short amount of time, in 11 days, we have our next round of Creative Leader Roundtables coming up. So if you want to be a part of Creative Leader Roundtable, visit creativeleaderroundtable.com. You get to meet your fellow creative leaders, discuss issues that you're having in your organizations. I'm going to be leading the conversation. It's a three-week live workshop online, of course. So very excited about that. Go to creativeleaderroundtable.com to learn more. We all want to make 2021 a great year. We all do. I know that we're off to an auspicious start, but we all want to make 2021 a good year. And listen, we have control over how we bring ourselves to the world. We can't control what's out there. We can only control how we bring ourselves to what we experience every day, our response, our approach, our mindset, how we develop our skill set, how we bring our unique passion, skills, and experiences to the opportunities in front of us. And frankly, and I say this all the time with people I work with, I say this all the time with my family, all we can do is put ourselves in positions where we're likely to have opportunity. And the more that we put ourselves in places where we are adding value to other people, the more likely we're going to have those opportunities. And frankly, the more we're going to grow, we're going to see contextually what's really going on. We're going to be able to understand bigger patterns. We're going to think more systemically as we put ourselves into the world, as we practice adding value wherever we can, right? So if this is a year that you want to make a great year, and it's a year that you want to learn to perform at your best, today's episode is one you don't want to miss. We have Stephen Kotler. Stephen Kotler is the author of several best-selling books, and his brand new one is called The Art of Impossible. We're going to talk today about how to do seemingly impossible things, how to access parts of yourself maybe that you didn't even realize were accessible, and how to bring those to life and work each and every day. So that interview with Stephen Kotler is coming up here in just a minute. Before we jump into that conversation, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Bambi. So when running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, by email, or by real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. Listen, you didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. So let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's bambi.com/accidentalcreative, spelled BAM to the bee.com/accidentalcreative to get your free HR audit today. We thank Bambi for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. What's great to have on the show today, back on the show, I should say, Stephen Kotler. Stephen is the author of several best-selling books, and his new one is called The Art of Impossible, and I can't wait to talk with him about this book. Stephen, welcome back to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
So maybe for those who aren't familiar with your work, could you just tell us a little about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I started out as a journalist. I'm an author predominantly. I've written 12 books, and I'm the executive director of the Flow Research Collective, where we study the neurobiology of performance, what's going on in your brain in your body when you're performing at your best. We do this in conjunction with researchers, neuroscientists at Stanford, at USC, at Imperial College in London, Deloitte, Formula One, places like that. And we use what we learn to train everybody, kind of the U.S. Special Forces, through Olympic athletes and professional athletes, through the general public, and a lot of people. Like, we train, I think, about 1,000 people a month. So we've got huge amounts of data on what it takes for people to perform at their best. And sort of that's what I do.
And this this phrase flow that you use, it refers to the phrase by from the research. I think originally it was Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, is it correct? Was the one who sort of coined that phrase originally.
Yeah, so flow science, you know, this state of flow. Flow is a scientific term for the state of optimal performance. Feel our best and we perform our best. More specifically, it's any of those moments of rapt attention, total absorption, so focused on what you're doing, so sucked in, everything else just seems to vanish, and all aspects of physical tend to go through the roof. And so I work on performance of flow is essentially how evolution designed human beings to perform at their best. It's our state of optimal performance. So it's the heart of the work I do, though it's not the whole of the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, I love what I love about your work and have loved about your past books and this one, of course, as well, is that your work is very practical. It's very tactical. You know, there are a lot of people who tend to focus more on theory, but you really are able to wrangle that theory into very tactical, practical advice.
I appreciate that. I try very hard on that, but I have to say, Todd, that's the difference between working from psychology and working from neurobiology. And what I mean by that, peak performance is nothing more than getting our biology to work for us rather than. As human beings, we are actually hardwired, all of us, to perform at much greater levels, much greater efficiency than most of us realize. So there's nothing, but there's nothing fancy sort of going on than beyond that. But when you try to do this psychology, I'll give you a simple example. You've probably talked about mindset on this show.
Sure.
And when you use the term, you are probably referring to like attitude towards life. When psychologists use term, they actually are being a little more specific. They're talking about attitude towards learning. And when neurobiologists are talking about it, they're talking about very specific shifts, which networks are active and inactive, talking to each other in the brain. When you get it down to that level, actually, even though the analogy, everything gets a little fancier, right? It's not as user-friendly as just being able to say mindset, but what you get is mechanism. And so you can be incredibly practical and it works for everyone. Great.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that gets a little frustrating for me, just because I mean, I read so many of these books and I'm constantly looking at research papers and articles and trying to really stay abreast of what's going on in the world. But it often feels like people are all kind of dancing around the same merry-go-round, but nobody's really sort of getting to the center or to the core. And so, you know, and your work feels very precise. And I say that in a, I mean it in a very complimentary way because I'm not a fan of generalities and I love precision. I think precision is what's really helpful. And to that point, a phrase early in the book that I really enjoyed was you said, this is a practical playbook for impractical people, which I think is a really great turn of phrase. And you delineate between capital I impossible and small I impossible. Could you share what that
means? For sure.
Means?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have spent my career studying those moments in time when the so-called impossible that never been done and we believe has never going to be done actually gets done, right? And it turns out, as a data set, history is sort of littered with those moments. Possible becomes possible all the time. And this could be athletic impossibles, the four-minute mile. This could be cultural impossibles, Rosa Parks, sitting at the front of the at the bus. This could be intellectual impossible, Einstein's theory of relativity. That said, the art of impossible, actually, it's written for anybody interested in tackling capital I impossible, yes, but it's really focused on how do we tackle small I impossible first. Small I impossible is that which we believe impossible for ourselves. And I'll give the example I give in the book, which I think is, for lack of a better one, is easy. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Blue collar era in the 1970s. Steel mill town, and I very young age wanted to be a writer. Now, this was about the equivalent of wanting to waking up one morning and being like, Mom, I want to be an elf, or I want to be a, right? Like, I don't know any writers. I know you can like put words together in a straight line. You do that a lot, and it's supposed to turn into something, and that is writing. But other than that, I have no clue how the hell to get to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. That's a small I in possible. What it really would be is any problem you're trying to solve where there is no clear path at all between point A and point B, statistically, really crappy odds. This could be rising out of poverty, small I impossible. Overcoming deep trauma, small I impossible. Figuring out how do I get paid to do what I love, small I impossible. In fact, for a lot of people, by the way, the first small I impossible is, guys, it's how do I get a girlfriend? Girls, it's how do I get a boyfriend or whatever your sexuality is and your preferences. But like sure. that first love, that's an impossible when we're kids, right? So the reason the book is focused on all these small lie impossibles, and by the way, becoming world class, anything. I don't care if it's camp, right? Small lie impossible. And the reason this matters so much is I have never found anybody an entire career of studying people who have taken on capital I impossible who started there. Only way you take on capital I impossible, small I impossible after small I impossible after a small I impossible. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you find that capital I impossible is the next what's in front of you, like breakfast, what you're just going to do today because it's what's next on the list. And that's usually how it works for most people.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot about when I think about these kinds of things, I think about Stephen Johnson's borrowing the phrase from evolutionary biology, the phrase, the adjacent possible, right? When he was.
Stephen Johnson. Love that phrase.
Yeah. Same here.
It's the door that leads into the room that has a dozen other doors.
Yes.
The adjacent possible.
Yeah.
Right?
And our job is just to walk through the door, right? The next door, whatever the next door is. And that door is often that small I impossible, but we have to walk through that door in order to get to the other doors that are in front of us.
I don't think there are any other doors for a human being. You know what I mean? There is sort of like if anywhere really worth going, go small I impossible by small I impossible by small I impossible until you get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And the other thing that seemed to be a bit of a message in your book too is that, you know, we sometimes have this belief that it's just not meant for me. That's just not in the cards for me. I think you called this the habit of inferiority. Is that the phrase you used?
It's not my phrase. It's William James.
Okay.
And so it starts with a very simple idea is when it comes to peak human performance, we don't have a lot of levers, right? We've got where we put our attention, what we choose to focus on and ignore, our actions. And if we put our focus on something and perform the same action over and over and over again, and we can automatize that behavior, we get habit. That's essentially almost the ball game, right? Everything else is sort of layered on top of those things. And William James's point is like, hey, you may know that you've got a second, right? You push yourself and push yourself and push yourself and think you die. Suddenly, boom, you've got all this new energy and alertness and focus and attention. Didn't even know you had it. Mm-hmm. Most people don't. There's also a third win, fourth win, fifth win, sixth win. And the point that the way I like to play is human potential is invisible, especially to ourselves. We learn this over and over and over again. And everything, like Adam Grant was actually tweeting about this morning. I was in a conversation about it, where there's all this data that's not tell what we're going to like or be good at until after we try it over and over and over. We have no idea. And you only find out what you're capable of by stretching to the edge of your abilities over and over and over and again, because human capability is an emergent property. And the truth of the matter is the experience, I don't care who you are on the inside, is always the same. Suck better. Right? It's I suck. Look, I don't suck anymore. Because learning is an invisible process. Actually, our adaptive unconscious laying in that habit takes place out of sight. Often, by the way, when we're sleeping, right? Like we screw it up during the awake time. Our brain decodes it during the sleep. We come back to it again. We're a little bit better. We screw it up again, figure it out. That's how it works. all of us. So what most people don't realize, designed for the extraordinary, but you just never get there because you've automatized the wrong behaviors. If you develop the habit of inferiority, I can't say that word. I've never been able to say it. I'm going to go through this entire tour. Everybody's going to ask me about it, and I'm never going to pronounce it right. I'm always going to sound like a two-year-old with a sucker in his mouth. I have a rumor. Anyways, that thing. We're automatizing the wrong thing. And so we're not getting to where we want to go. And we think we're not capable of going where we want to go. But I will tell you, I have years studying so-called extraordinary people, the most extraordinary people on the planet, the people who have literally redefined what is possible for our species again and again and again, and none of them, a person, started out extraordinary.
Yeah.
All start out average, like you and me.
Yeah.
They get to extraordinary, the same, and we all get to this extraordinary, by the way, the same way. It's the same blueprint because it's the same biology.
Everyone, hope you're enjoying this conversation with Stephen Koller. We're going to jump back into it in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also brought to you by Indeed. So if you're using anything other than Indeed for your hiring, you're wasting your time. Hire great people faster with Indeed. Only pay for results and get back time in your schedule. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. So you can do the part you really need faster, meeting and hiring great people. Unlike some hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. And with Indeed, there are no long-term contracts. You can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. With Instant Match, you will see a list of great candidates with zero wait. And Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/creative. That's Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/creative. Indeed.com/creative. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And now back to our conversation with Stephen Koller. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'd never connected these dots before this conversation, but so often when I am working with a peak performer, somebody who is achieving something really remarkable in their career, I will have to give them the advice. I'll have to say, hey, you need to pause for a minute and enjoy this. You need to pause for a minute and recognize where you are right now and be grateful for where you are and enjoy this moment. And I never thought about why I need to do that, but I think it's because for people who are experiencing a moment of peak success or some massive accomplishment, it just feels like the next thing often. It doesn't feel like really some huge accomplishment because this is just the next step, like you've been talking about. And so you have to almost say, wait a minute, you have to put a break in the process here and recognize this is a really cool mark the moment kind of thing right now.
I'm so guilty. And gratitude is really critical for peak performance, right? There's a section in the book on what gratitude does for the brain. We've conducted lengthy studies. Glenn Fox at USC is the world's leading expert on the neuroscience of gratitude. Find that a daily gratitude practice keeps you more optimistic, makes you much more prone to flow. There goes sort of on and on. So very useful practice in general. But I literally, like, my best friend, who happens to be my editor, so I work with him all the time, he does this for me more than anybody else, where he'll be like, Stephen, shut up. Do you realize we, like, stop? You just finished another book. Like, would you pause for 3 minutes so we can just, like, appreciate what just happened?
Yeah.
And you know, and he, by the way, he did it with Art Impossible, which literally was laughing when he did it, 30 years worth of work, right? The book you're reading took 30 years to get something this practical and tactical. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I was like, you know, and Laird Hamilton explained it to me better than anybody, the big wave surfer, and said two things. He said, you know, they'll see me. I'm 33. This was the first time I met him. He was 33 at the time. He said, they see me 33 years old. They see me on a 50, 60 foot wave. And they think, oh, wave, dude, that is impossible. that what they don't see me at 3 years old on a three foot wave and 4 years old on a 4 foot wave and 5 years old on a 5 foot wave. And what they didn't see is me last week on a 49 and a half foot wave. So today they see me on a 50 foot wave. Like, oh my God, that's impossible. For me, I think not even pushing that hard. It's like 6 inches taller than what you did last week.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by impossible breakfast. Mm. It really becomes just the next thing, but it takes a very long time to get to the point where that can be the next thing. But that's where it starts to get really interesting. That's where you start to, you know, at the end of the book, I talk about long haul creativity is a very key skill for, especially if you're interested in these kind of high hard goals, because creativity is how you steer, right? If you're trying to go do something that's never been done, even if it's just like rising out of poverty or becoming a writer or something like that, that you've never done, you need creative problem solving. Otherwise, you'll never get there. And how to sustain that over a long career, sort of interesting question. One of the things that I poke at in the book, and one of the things, by the way, that I find interesting, that's a funny story in the book. I was talking to Sir Ken Robinson about it, who passed recently.
Yeah.
Amazing, lovely man. Really one of my favorite people on the planet. Like, really walk the talk experience with him. But anyways, I was telling him about, like, hey, what is Bane really like creative problem solving over a whole career? Did I tell you a funny story about George? Okay, that's cool.
Your ears perk up. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, no, stop now. Absolutely not. I will not have that. So he's like, I popped the question to George. And I looked at him and I was like, please repeat. He's like, yeah. I walked up to him and I was like, man, you got to tell me, why do you keep remaking all those Star Wars movies? And that, like, is the famous, like, taboo question you're never supposed to ask George Lucas this question, right? And so Ken did. And what George said to me is, he said, you know, in this particular universe, I'm God. God's not sin.
Hmm.
And he was talking about that itchy dissatisfaction. I think Laird was getting the same thing, where he was like, you know, I'm going a half a foot bigger, and to me it doesn't even look like I'm satisfied with what I'm doing, and to everybody else it's possible. And I think that's really interesting too.
Yeah. Well, one thing I have to ask you about, because I just released a book about motivation, and motivation is a core part of the central theme in your book. And you talk about how motivation is a message, and I'd never heard it really expressed that way before. Kind of frustrated me because I didn't think to write it that way, but that was such a great point. Could you share a little bit about how motivation is a message and what that means and how it impacts us?
So you got to remember that evolution bond a certain environment. Motivation is literally the brain's way of saying, hey, do more of this thing. It's going to get you more resources. It's going to help you survive. Mm-hmm. Now, those resources can be anything, right? Like food, sex, shelter, pride, satisfaction, job well done, curiosity is a motivator, passion is a motivator. Purpose is a motivator. Autonomy, the freedom to pursue our purpose, that's a motivator. Mastery, the ability to get better and better at the things we do. These are all internal motivators, and what they are basically all ways that we will get more resources. Even purpose, which seems very high-minded, but the reason it produces such a strong reaction of the body is purpose is your brain's way of saying, okay, look, you've got enough resources for you. Now it's time to get more resources to your tribe, your family, the world, take your pick, right? And from a neurobiological standpoint, all of these things are underpinned by the exact same cocktail, getting the same reward chemicals. They reward this behavior, and so you'll do more of it. And the big deal with motivation from a biological perspective, started this conversation, we said, look, there's focus, action, and there's habit, not a whole lot to work with. And the truth of the matter is, habit's not up to you, right? It's you got to repeat the focus and you got to repeat the action. And when you're doing a thing, you're writing a book, got to write the book. The action isn't like there's not a lot you can do there. You can get better at your craft and improve that way for sure. But most of your big levers are on focus. Mm-hmm. And big deal with motivation is because hopefully it's a little bit of norepinephrine, it's a little bit of dopamine. We feel that in our bodies automatically. We don't have to work so hard. Brain is 2% of your body weight, 25% of your energy at rest. When you're doing something like focusing on something that's really hard, it's a lot more energy and you will burn out sooner. So if you can get motivation lined up with all your intrinsic motivations lined up, so your curiosity, passion, purpose is all pointed in the same direction kind of thing, that's where you're doing your work, you're getting a massive amount of focus for free.
Well, the book is called The Art of Impossible. The author is Stephen Kotler. Stephen, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for your interest. I appreciate it.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.